Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Lori B., and welcome to the Carilion Family Hour. Reverend Don will not be with us this evening, but I do have a special guest joining us. His name is Chris Aldridge. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm well, thank you. So Chris is the head priest of Temple of the Greek Gods. And
that's
were
right.
You originally started in Thomasville, North Carolina?
The temple? No, it was originally started in High Point, North Carolina, but I'm from Thomasville.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in North Carolina now. That's what when I had seen Thomasville, I'm like, oh, he's from here. Wonderful. But you weren't.
What part of Thomasville are you? Right. What part of North Carolina are you in?
I'm in Winston-Salem.
Okay, that's a nice place.
Yeah, not too far. I'm originally from New York. I'm down here about 2 years now.
Okay.
So, loving it. Weather's a little crazy. You know, you guys had all the seasons in one day, but that's another show. Right now,
warmer.
We want to talk. Yeah, it's a lot warmer. A lot more humid. A lot more rain.
Oh, yeah, it rains a lot.
Yes. So now, where are you now with the temple?
We're based in Elizabeth, Illinois.
Okay, so you're from where Chicago is, you're on the opposite end of the state?
Right.
Okay.
It's about 3 hours from Chicago.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a very dedicated Hellenist. I'm a father and a writer. And I'm definitely also a mythologist as well, a theologian and a priest. That's what I would characterize myself as.
Okay. Have you always been pagan? Were you raised pagan?
Well, I mean, like most pagans today, no, I was not always pagan. I didn't officially become pagan until 2009 when I officially converted to Hellenism, but some years before that, though, I had always been very interested in ancient Greece and its religions.
Awesome. What drew you to ancient Greece? Was it just through studies with college?
Well, if you read my autobiography, In the Presence of the Gods, you'll learn about my notable experiences with the Greek gods. But in a general sense, they've always been the gods and the culture I've been drawn to. I tried to be so many things religiously in my life. I tried to be Christian, I tried to be Wiccan, I tried to be eclectic, I tried to be Kemetic, and none of it ever stuck. I always kept going back to Greece. You know, one time before I started that journey, back in like, I think it was 2013 or yeah, something like that, 13, when I decided that I wanted to try to look at a more broad perspective of pagan religion. I wanted to try eclecticism and things like that, and I did a reading with Apollo, asking for his guidance, because in Greek religion he's a god of prophecy, and he told me basically to follow my heart and I would find great spirituality. And so, you know, with Apollo's readings, if you know anything about the Oracle of Delphi, Apollo really likes to speak to us cryptically. You know, he really likes to kind of give us something to figure out, put a twist on it, something that brings us to the realization, wow, you know, I never thought of it that way. And so when I followed my heart, like he said, I always went right back to Hellenism. It always led me right back to Greece. So what he was basically saying is, if you follow your heart, you realize where you're supposed to be, and that's right here.
Wonderful. Are you Greek by any chance?
I don't know. I think that I have some Mediterranean heritage, because my grandparents were, their skin was as toned as olives.
Yeah.
So I think I might have some, but I don't know for sure if I'm directly from a Greek line, but most certainly European. Half of my family is Western European, I think, around English, and I think some Scottish. But I think I may have some Mediterranean in me. I'm not sure, though.
Very cool. So I had noticed your blogs on one of the a mutual group. I believe it was one of Triple Moon's pages. And I just absolutely fell in love with one of the stories that you did about pagan symbols in America. I know that's not the title. American, what was it? American
pagan
symbolism? Pagan heritage. What made you write that? It was absolutely well written and very, very detailed. And I really enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Well, what made me write it was the fact that, you know, I grew up, and a lot of us grew up thinking that, some of us were taught that America is a very eclectic country for everybody from everywhere. But a lot of us also were brought up thinking that the only heritage that America has is Western European Christianity.
Yes.
And so we don't really think about, the ancient cultures and the basis that they have in our government and our country and our values, they're so abundant and they're so obvious, yet we never see them. I mean, if as a student in high school, if you had taken me to Washington, D.C., and you asked me, what does the White House look like? Or what does the Washington Monument look like? Or if you'd taken me to Grand Central Station and asked me, who is that up there on top right there? You know, or if you'd taken me to the Statue of Liberty and said, who is that?
Right.
I wouldn't have known. You know, I would have said, well, yeah, that's the Statue of Liberty, but, you know, who is it? I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's a green woman, you know? So I wanted to write an article so that people would understand, and I also talk about this in some of my books as well, that America has a lot of pagan heritage. A lot of people think that America only has one, but we have a great many, and so that's what I wanted to show people.
Awesome. It was, what kind of research did you have to do for that? Did you visit all of these places?
Oh, no. I didn't visit all of them, but I knew that they existed. And so I just, you know, looked up pictures and information about them.
Oh, okay. I said, he must have went on like a massive trip all around everywhere and gathered some wonderful information. Now, on April 26, 2016, you also did another blog, His Life, Mysteries, and Virtues of Theseus.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Theseus. On April 26th, you also did another blog or another, was that a blog post of Theseus, His Life, Mysteries, and Virtues? Or
no, that's
that
a book that I wrote.
One of your books. So how many books have you written?
I've written 4 so far.
Wonderful. Can you tell us what they are?
The first book that I wrote was actually called Byzantine Prayers. And the reason that I titled it that was because my birth name is actually Van Zandt. And I became an Aldridge because my dad was adopted by them. So on paper, I'm an Aldridge, but in blood, I'm a Van Zandt. And there was one time when I thought that name, in part, originated from the Greek island of Zante. And so I don't think that it did, but I thought that it did back then. And so I wrote my first prayer book, which consisted of all the prayers I had ever written since I was a Hellenist in 2009. And I put them all together into a publication, and I called it the Zantean Prayers, named after myself and the name that I thought was my part of my Greek lineage. But later I just turned it into a book called New Prayers of Old Hellas, so that it would be more identifiable and more relatable with people who were Hellenic in our time. And then I decided to write a book about one of my favorite heroes, and actually one of my patron heroes in Greek religion, Theseus. And I thought that his story needed to be told as if it, was credible, everything you read about him out there is always based in a fictional setting or a mythological setting. Nobody really gives serious thought to the fact that he probably did exist. And so my book was just to talk about his life as it probably really happened, to show people that, yeah, he did exist, and that it's very, you know, it's very probable that he existed. And also to kind of defend him a little bit, because he's been labeled with some pretty bad charges throughout history, but they really have no basis. And if you put two and two together, you really see how they don't make sense. And it was kind of like, well, you know, he was a very famous person, an influential person. A lot of people hated him. And so, you know, he was probably a lot of propaganda, a lot of rumors, a lot of gossip, probably not a lot of truth to the things about him. And so I just wanted to, you know, show that Theseus was real and that he was a good guy. And that also that he was the founder of the democracy that inspired our own country. And therefore, Theseus can be considered one of our founding fathers in those respects.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I mean, if some people are going to consider Moses to be a founding father, simply because, you know, his face is on the wall of the House of Representatives, or because we might have some values from the Jewish culture, then we can most certainly consider Theseus to be one, because we have many values from his culture that he founded. So. That's what I wanted to portray with that book. I was even invited to do a speech that July 4th at Stevenson Nursing Center in Freeport. They had a fireworks show and a firework event and everything, and so I was invited to that, and I spoke about the book and talked about Theseus as the founder of our democracy and things like that. The third book I wrote was called Light of Olympus, Ancient Greek Rites and Prayers for Everyday Life. And that book was actually compiled from a page that I used to run back in 2015 and 2016. I ran a page on Facebook I don't remember the name exactly, but what it was a daily Hellenic prayer page. Every day I would post prayers to God, spirits, and heroes for Hellenists. You know, it was like a daily prayer post, you know. And after about a year, I think, I just really couldn't think of anything else off the bat every day. And so I decided to put it all together into a book, and to also outline basic rites and rituals that a Hellenist can do in their daily life to help them spiritually. And that's actually been my best-selling book in terms of my self-published works. It's sold quite a few.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my latest book, like I just talked about, is called In the Presence of the Gods, and it's my autobiography. It's about my religious life from the time I was born till right now. It talks about my family, all the religious experiences and spiritual experiences I've had, and how I've grown and changed and found myself and come to be the person I am today.
Awesome. And now every day, or is it every other day, you're also doing an article on your page?
On my blog? Well, sometimes... I used to only post once a month, but now I do it far more often. Anytime I get an inspiration or a motive to write about a topic appropriate for my blog, I'll normally post and share it. So on average, I'd say maybe 2 to 3 posts a month.
Okay. Well, another one that I really enjoyed, and I think most people really, really enjoyed, is Artemis is Not a Vegetarian, an Abortionist, or a Man-Hater. And I think that article could not have come at a better time.
Why do you say that?
I just think because there's such a divide in the pagan community between the LGBT or women's rights or the right to have an abortion, the right not to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit something for me. So between that one and that, it made sense. It absolutely just makes sense. And like the claim Artemis hates hunting.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Well, how did they eat if you know they didn't hunt?
Yeah, I mean they hunted for food, and they had to eat, and so they hunted and they ate the food that they killed. They probably didn't do it for sport, really, because I don't know if you would have found any, you know, heads of deer in homes in ancient Greece. I think that for the most part, I'm probably safe to say that, you know, they hunted so that they could eat. Yeah. So.
Right.
And I also wanted to write that article.
More about that article, because this is a great article. I mean, if you haven't read any of the articles that Chris has written, I definitely suggest this one. The claims alone are what people actually think.
Well, some people. I don't think that most people in the pagan community think that way, but
you would be
I've heard some people.
Not most, but it's a very large percentage.
Well, I mean, they have the right to what they want to believe, but I don't have to agree
absolutely.
With it either, you know.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying they don't have the right to their beliefs. I'm just saying I don't agree. You know, but one of the reasons I wanted to write that article is found in the ending. A lot of people try to remake gods in their own images. And, you know, it's kind of like what Susan B. Anthony said. She said that I just trust people who know so well what God wants because it's always the same as what they want. And so that's really the point of the article, that, you know, just because you may want something doesn't necessarily mean that deity wants the same thing. Just because you
right.
worship and follow them and truly believe in your heart that they're just like you, that may not necessarily be the case. I mean, I myself will admit, I mean, I know what I believe. I believe in the Greek gods, and I know what I believe concerning them. Some of my beliefs may be right. Some of them may not be right. I don't know. I know what I believe. But the gods care more about how I live as a person. They care about if I live with virtue and piety and honor, and they care about if I live with justice and goodness. You know, so...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now
you
recently
but what you believe about
writing...
the gods...
Good.
I'm sorry, I was just going to end by saying, you know, the point of the article was what you believe about the gods, you know, it's your right to believe it, but it may not necessarily be the case. And I really don't think that gods waste their time really caring what you believe either.
And so now you've been, you did a few different writings on Hera.
I published a blog post about her recently, yes.
Okay.
I've been doing that series. It's part of a series I've been doing for years. It's called A Learning from the Greek Gods.
Right.
And I wanted to do a post about each Olympian, talking about what we can learn from them and in accordance with that, how to live a good life. And it's been an ongoing project for like 2 or 3 years. It was always like whenever I started going with it, I would always not have time to continue, or I would change websites or something would happen. But I'm almost close to finishing it. I think I have 4 left to go, but my recent one was Hera. And she's actually been a goddess that I've been very close to lately. I just think that she's just a wonderful goddess. I don't think that she's really, a lot of people don't really pay her a lot of attention like they do gods like Athena and Artemis and Apollo and Aphrodite.
Right.
Those are very popular gods. But when you talk about Hera, some people may not even know who she is. So she's a very close goddess to me. She's really called to me as a universal mother. And so sometimes when I pray to her, I'll call her the mother of gods, mother of mankind, mother of the universe. Some Hellenists don't agree with me on that, and that's fine, but that's just the way, you know, I've come to see her as a universal mother.
Well, I like
mother.
Your rationalization of it as her being the equivalent of Zeus. So if he's the king of gods, that would be her being the queen of the goddesses.
Mm-hmm. And if
so
he's the father,
I
then she's the mother.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I actually built her a shrine outside
that path,
of my yard.
That makes absolute sense, yes.
Mm-hmm. I actually built her a shrine out in my yard recently.
Oh, beautiful. Wonderful. And now for your temple. The temple is the temple of the Greek gods, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have like a certain place? Is it in your home?
Well, our central base of operations, like I said, is in Elizabeth, Illinois. But at now we don't have a physical building, but I'm not sure if I'd really want to have a physical building because we are really also strongly an ideal. I mean, we have members from many different places, and we have public events.
Well, that's what I was getting at, okay.
Yeah, and we have public events in our area as well that people can come to physically. But we also,
right.
But we're also a temple that, you know, like I say in my speeches that I do usually every week, that we're a home and a place of worship for all who love the Greek gods, spirits, and heroes. And our mission is to love and worship them and to build a strong community of support, education, and defense for Greek polytheistic people. And so we're really an ideal. We're really a movement. And we're really like a family of worshipers.
Awesome.
But we also do things in the public. Obviously, not everyone can come to our events because, you know, we have members all over the country. But those who we have had some come in the past who live close by. This July, we're having our annual Panathenia again, and we're having it at the Universalist Church in Stockton. And I'm hoping to get a good crowd this year too. So
awesome.
we do a lot.
Now, is that something that you do every year?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have dates and stuff for that so I can get it out there for you? The dates are
One second. Let me look on my website here real quick. Or our temple website would be better. Which
so
is
the temple website, if you can just give that out.
It's the temple of the Greek gods.org.
Okay.
Yeah, the temple of the Greek gods.
Of the Greek, GREEKGODS.org.
Right, and the in front, the Temple of the Greek Gods.
The, okay.
Right. Our Panathenia is July 22nd from 12 to 5. I'm actually also going to be at the the Earth House Midsummer Gather on June 24th up in Wisconsin. I'm going to be talking about Prometheus and leading a Promethean rite at the end of the day.
Okay. St. Louis Pagan Picnic by any chance?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to the St. Louis Pagan Picnic by any chance?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I have family who live in St. Louis. I wouldn't mind going down there. I like it a lot.
I don't know why. I just thought that you were going to be there. So what other events do you have coming up? And how can people get involved?
Well, tomorrow I have a book signing. I'm going to be signing and selling copies of my latest book at the Elizabeth Antique Mall on the book floor.
And that is in the presence of the gods?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a book signing in Freeport, Illinois, on June 17th at the Freeport Public Library. And I'll be in their lobby area from open to close doing that.
Wonderful.
And that's pretty much what I've
now
got.
Will you only be doing that book, or will you have all of your books with you?
It'll just be that book, yeah.
Okay.
And on June 10th, I believe it was, that's when I rescheduled our spring festival. We were originally going to have it on May 20th at Crate Park in Freeport, our Gaia and Dionysus Spring Festival, but it rained out, and so I moved it to June 10th. So we're going to be having that as well.
Oh, and for all of this information, it is on the temple page. Are you
yes.
open
mm-hmm.
to non-temple members?
Of course. Anyone
open to
who
the public,
wants
anybody
to...
can come as long as they're.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody who wants to.
Shaved.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who wants to worship the Greek gods with us is welcome to come.
And Earth House Midsummer Gathering, June 24th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what else do you have going on?
That's pretty much it right now. I don't really have a whole lot going on this summer, and I kind of like it that way because I'm going back to college in the fall, and so I have a little bit of time to prepare and rest up.
Okay,
but
cool.
I mean, it's
what do you do? What do you do in college? If
I am three classes or four classes away from my bachelor's degree, and so
awesome.
I got to go through a couple of And so I got to go through a couple of math classes and a couple of electives.
Terrific. Now, is it for writing?
No, it's a general studies degree.
It is. Okay, awesome.
With a minor in history.
So where do you find time to do all of this?
To do what?
To do all of your writing and write your books, go to school, run a temple.
Well, I just sit down and I break it down. A lot of things that you think are problems really aren't problems when you sit down and think about them. So, you know, I just set aside time for everything I want to do. Like sometimes when I get up in the morning, I'll take maybe an hour or two to work on a manuscript, and then I'll do some stuff with my temple the next couple hours, and then I might go down to our store in the antique mall and do some things there. So you just gotta break it up. And I usually go to night classes. And like I said, I only have a few classes left before I'm done. And so the classes don't last all day. They usually last a couple hours.
Congratulations for that. So now at the Midsummer Gathering, you're going to be leading a Promethean rite.
Yes, the theme of the festival is that. Well, the theme of the festival this year is celestial fire, and so I'm going to do a speech on Prometheus, for obvious reasons, and also from 6:30 to 7:30, I'm going to be leading a rite involving Prometheus, a worship of him that people can join in on.
And what does that consist of?
I haven't written it yet, so I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. I write really good.
I have no doubt.
I do really good rituals.
That's wonderful. Now, you're married. Do you have children?
I do. I have one.
Okay. Is your wife also a priestess of the temple?
Yes.
I know she's a master tarot reader.
She's very good at it. Yeah, very good. I've never known her to get anything wrong, get a reading wrong.
Awesome. Okay, so we are at our halfway point, and we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back with you with Chris Aldridge.
In honor of talking about Artemis, one of Chris's recent blogs, we're going to play Artemis of the Haunt by Kellyanna.
Artemis of the silver bow and arrows formed of silver light, eternal maiden of the moon, beloved leader of the hunt. She stalks her prey fleet and fast, with quiver hung across her back. The hunt, her power and her bliss, when loose her arrows never miss. May I run with you now through the green forest glade? Grant me the honor to join in the chase, when the curve of my bow is the crescent moon. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Lady of the wild things and forest nymphs running free, her bird is the majestic crane, the silver fir her sacred tree. Goddess of the moon and hunt, running towards the morning light, she runs with lion, wolf, and bear, running free with unbound hair. May I run with you now through the green forest glade? Grant me the honor to join in the chase, when the curve of my bow is the crescent moon. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Goddess of the raging seas, stirs the waves with a silver leash, and with a cry and mighty roar, she hurls them fast upon the shore. Moon maiden rides the night sky in a chariot drawn by four white stags. She sets down in a hidden place and calls her maidens to the chase. May I run with you now through the green forest glade? Grant me the honor to join in the chase when the curve of my bow is the crescent moon. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. May I run with you now through the green forest glade? Grant me the honor to join in the chase when the curve of my bow is the crescent moon. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true. Artemis, guide my arrow true.
And welcome back to Carillion Family Hour. This is Reverend Lori B. As I said earlier, Lord Don's not here, but we do have a special guest with us, Chris Aldridge. And you were just listening to Kiliana, Artemis of the Hunt. And welcome back, Chris.
It's good to be back.
Thank you. So, you know, we were just talking about all your dates and stuff, so I just wanted to go over a few more things.
Okay.
When did you decide you wanted to start writing books?
Around about 2006, I decided I wanted to write books seriously. And in 2011, I decided to really apply that to my religious life. Since then, I've written lots of books, articles, and blog posts on Hellenism and the ancient ways. But I also really enjoy writing fiction, and I write long fiction, flash fiction, horror, fantasy, romance, history, and general nonfiction. So I like to write a broad range of things.
Have you written any of those in a book?
Written any of my blog posts or articles?
Aside from that.
Aside from my autobiography, yeah, I've written nonfiction in books before. Yeah, I'm actually working on a nonfiction book right now, another one.
Oh, very cool.
About my life, yeah.
Okay. Did you write as a child? Were you always writing?
Yes, absolutely, yes. I've been writing fiction ever since elementary school. My teachers were always very impressed with my imagination. Obviously, the writing skills are a little bit better today. But yeah, ever since I can remember, I've loved to write.
Awesome. Where can your books be purchased?
You can go to my website, caldridge.net, and in the right-hand column, there's pictures of all of them, and you just click on it, and it'll take you right to my buyer's page.
Okay, you're going through, is that Lulu?
Yes. I'm hoping that in the near future, I'm going to start submitting to actual pagan publishers, like Llewellyn and people like that. So I'm hoping that in the future, I will actually get, you know, with a real company.
Very good. So what do you think that the pagan community can expect to get from your writings?
I think they can expect to get a quality historical book from a unique perspective on Hellenic religion and paganism. I am mostly a Reconstructionist Hellenist. That's what I would identify as in a great number of ways, you know, but I also don't, you know, ask everybody in Hellenism if it's okay if I do something. I don't think they'd expect me to either. I think there's a lot of room in Hellenism for personal development, and so I think that when people read my material, they're not going to say, oh, there's another Hellene along with the other thousand on the history shelves. They're going to say, that's Chris Aldridge.
Oh, awesome. So now for those that are listening that don't know, you just used a term that may not be that Hellene. Can you explain to our listeners?
Hellene is the ancient word for Greek. So when someone's a Hellene, they're a Greek, and specifically a traditional Greek.
Okay. Awesome. See, well, that's why I had asked you earlier if you were Greek. I thought that is what you meant when you said in another blog that I had read that you were Hellene.
Well, religiously, definitely. I'm a Hellene.
Awesome. So where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Hopefully under a new president, for one. Secondly, I'd like to see myself as a very successful writer. I'd like my temple to grow. And I'd also like to see myself as a UU minister, because it's something I think I can do very well. I've given speeches on Hellenic religion, history, and myth at UU churches in the past, and everyone loved it. Some people told me it was clearly a calling for me in life. And at present time, if I want to be clergy and be able to support myself and my family by doing it, then being a UU minister is the closest I could come while still being able to keep my religion along with it. So it's literally the closest I could come right now to being a consistently well-paid Hellenic priest with retirement prospects and all that good stuff. So I would like to be a UU minister.
Oh, that's awesome. So is there do you go to a UU church in Illinois?
I do. My wife and I go to the one in Stockton, which is about 12, 14 miles away.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And are you currently giving lectures, you know, on a regular basis? Are you doing any sermons?
No, not on a regular basis. A lot of times in the past, when the minister wasn't there, they would ask me to do some service leads and you know, talk about some subjects and lead the service, basically. But they don't ask me to do it on a consistent basis. We now have a new minister there, and she's pretty much got everything the way she wants it. So I really don't do a whole lot anymore, but I used to quite a bit.
Awesome. So Mike had asked about Dark Horse Comics or Amazon for your books.
A couple of them can be found on Amazon and book distributors as well. If you're self-publishing your book, in order to get it on the, you know, like Barnes & Noble databases and Amazon and stuff like that, it has to have an ISBN. And two of my books have an ISBN, and that's the Theseus book and the new one that just came out. It's still processing. The new one is still processing through the systems right now, so I don't know if it's on Barnes & Noble site or Amazon yet, but eventually it will be. So the Theseus book and In the Presence of the Gods are both going to be available on all major book distribution sites.
Oh, awesome. That is very, very awesome. You recently started, and I thought this was a great idea, a new Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. When my book sales spiked up a couple months ago, it got me really excited. And so I thought that, you know, and people who sell on Lulu, there's been people who have made thousands of dollars in a pay period off their book sales. They've really gotten their stuff out there. So it's possible, if you do the right things, to make money there. And so I thought that I had the potential at that time, you know, to really get my work out there and make some money. And so I started sharing my stuff all around, constantly, all the time. And I think I overdid it a little bit. I kind of overkilled it. Sometimes I was the only thing that people saw in their feed. You know,
see, now I didn't
groups.
Think it was overkill. I did see your apology.
Yeah,
I thought it was great. I didn't think that you overkilled anything by posting. I think a lot of the private groups don't realize that if we don't put it out there, nobody knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there were some people in some groups who, you know, didn't really like me for doing all that. Didn't like the fact that I was doing all that. And so I decided, you know, in order to just avoid all of the possible conflicts that could come, you know, I don't want to intentionally break somebody's group rules. I don't want to intentionally disrespect the administrators or anything like that. You know, so to avoid all that and be able to post my work and to stuff and also other pagan writers who may want to post their stuff, I created a group called Pagan Writers Worldwide. And it's already got almost 200 members. And anybody who's a pagan writer, anything they want to post pagan for people to see, buy, or view, they can. Anything that's pagan, not just Hellenic stuff, anything that's pagan in written form. You know, books, blog posts, websites, research papers, articles, anything you want to post that's literary. And so that was my group that I created so that not only myself, but every other pagan writer could have a free and open outlet for the promotion of their materials and their careers.
That was a wonderful thing. See, it's only been, what, about a week? And you already have 200?
A few days.
Yeah. Less than a week. That is awesome.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of work to get people in there, you know.
Yes. Did you get a lot of bad feedback from all the posting?
For the most part, no. But there were some people and some admins who really didn't like it. I was actually banned from a witchcraft page, even after I apologized, because they didn't. I guess they just wanted to believe that I broke the rules intentionally, you know. But they didn't want to accept my apology, in other words, and so they banned me from the group. So it did have some negative repercussions, but most people, you know, accepted my apology, and most people really didn't, you know, feel harmed or violated by it, by the promotions.
And I understand that, because I do a lot of postings throughout at least 30 or 40 groups. And sometimes it does overwhelm a page that only gets 3 or 4 things. And if I'm posting 10 a day, it's like I'm the only one posting in the page. And I feel maybe they should be happy somebody's actually posting in the page. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, definitely.
Well, I really think that that's a great idea. So for anyone that's listening out there, Facebook group, if you're a writer, if you're a blogger, Pagan Writers Worldwide Facebook group, great thing for
right,
all of you
right.
to get together, share ideas. Now, is this also for them to just put the link to their pages, their stories?
Yes, anything they want to promote, yes. Anything is pagan.
So we now have a promotion group, which
yes,
there aren't that
yeah.
many out there. Wonderful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Okay, so we're almost getting down to the last 15 minutes of the show, so I really want you to just, whatever we didn't cover, whatever you want the public to know about you, whatever you want to plug, have at it.
Okay. Well, I would say that maybe I'll end by talking about what my inspiration is as a writer. I don't think we've talked about that yet. Most definitely, my inspiration is the gods. But also, writing, to my mind, is a lot of people really don't think about it this way, but to my mind, writing is a talent and a skill that is among the most immortal of talents and skills. When you write something, it lives forever. That ink and your words will be there long after your bones are gone. To think that people could still be reading and learning from my words in the next millennium really gives me purpose in life. I mean, you look at someone like Plato, who's been dead for like what, 2,300 years, but we don't even know where his body is. We don't even really know what he looked like. We have images of what we think he might have looked like, but we really don't know who the guy was. We don't know him at all, except what he wrote. And his words are still, you know, priceless philosophies taught in universities around the world today. He's never really died. So that's my inspiration in being a writer. It's really what I want to do. If I could do it as a profession and make a living that way alone and do nothing else as a career, that's what I would do. I really want to be a writer. It's what I love to do.
Awesome. Your book sales have skyrocketed in the last 2-3 weeks.
I wouldn't say skyrocketed, but they've went up significantly. Most of my writings, whether they be books or just articles, they mostly do have to do with paganism. But I also write fiction pieces and about various topics, not necessarily relating to paganism. You know, like when I went to Chicago for the weekend back in April of this year, for some reason I just became fascinated by 2122 North Clark Street. That's the historical place of the St. Valentine's Day mob shooting. And I wrote a flash fiction story of about 1,000 words centered around it, and I submitted it to a publishing magazine. So I enjoy writing a range of genres. They didn't accept it, but there's a lot of other magazines out there that might. I just felt really – a lot of my fictional writings come from places I've been to and experienced. I don't know what it is about that place that just makes me, like, convulse, but it does. It's, I'm a historian, and I look at a lot of historical places, but when I look at a picture of that lot, I don't know why I just want to, like, I don't know. It's really weird. But maybe I had a past life there. I don't know. But,
you have a connection to it. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, most certainly. There's something there. So a lot of places like that give me inspiration to, and I write a lot of fiction too, and they come across with a very strong meaning.
And are your fiction pieces also on your blog page?
Not at present time, no. I wrote a flash fiction piece called Herald of the Hill, and I published that to the internet. I'll probably post a link to it in my writers group, but that's the only fictional stuff I have out right now. Actually, no, I'm wrong about that. There's a fictional horror story of mine called Deepest Doom that I wrote back in college in 2007, and it was published by Dark Dossier out of Columbus,
right,
Ohio this year. So I do have some fiction stuff published, yeah, but not very much.
Awesome. That is so awesome. You have a very wide, broad range of your writing.
I try to, yeah.
Very, very cool. I'm just trying to go through our questions, make sure we didn't forget anything else. And now let's just go through your dates and what gatherings you have coming up one more time.
Okay. Yeah, I used to go to Winston-Salem a lot. I really liked that city. When my wife and I first moved to Thomas High Point, when we first got together, she actually had a job in Winston-Salem, and I would, back then we were very poor, and so we only had like one car between us, and so, you know, I would take her to work and pick her up every day in Winston-Salem, and it's a pretty city. I like it there.
Yeah, well, I definitely do like it here. I was a little skeptical being from the north. I think people are a lot nicer than in Manhattan or in the boroughs.
The Phallic Tower is very interesting, but, you know.
Which one?
The Phallic Tower?
Downtown
the Phallic
Winston?
Symbol? Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
My wife once said they should put a fountain up there.
That would be funny. Now I have to post a picture of it so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that'd
be good.
So Chris's website is, go ahead.
It's caldridge.net, ALDRIDGE.net. Very simple.
Yep. Now all
and really,
his
and,
books. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And really from that website, you can find access to pretty much everything that I do and that I've put out there. The only thing that I don't think is linked on there is my temple website. But, you know, that's very easy to remember, thetempleofthegreekgods.org. But pretty much everything else about me can be found on my personal website.
Now, you're also an environmentalist, correct?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
So what do you do? So I worked for an environmental company. I am so into being environmentally correct that I drive people crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do really love the environment. I care a lot about it. I'm also very much I really love nature. I build a sanctuary to Artemis in my backyard, and part of the reason I go out there is so that I can garden and, you know, be close to nature and everything. And it's really given me a kind of salvation in my life. I also run a conservation society group on Facebook. It's called the Artemis Tree and Animal Conservation Society. Not very active on Facebook, but you know, I go out every spring and summer. I plant trees. I, you know, lead recycling efforts with people, encourage them to recycle and stuff like that. And there was one year when I cleaned up an apartment complex, their yard in the back, because it was littered with stuff. And, you know, so I try to do a lot of environmentalist stuff myself to help make the world a better place than I found it.
So when you go out and you plant trees randomly, public places, are
well,
you allowed
year,
to do that in Illinois?
Well, yeah, if you get the permission. Last year I planted the tree in my sanctuary, but this year I'm probably going to plant one. My father-in-law owns quite a bit of land, and he owns a section of forest back there, and I'll probably maybe plant it back there somewhere this year, perhaps. Or you know, I also talked to the mayor of Elizabeth, the town that I live in. He was very delighted that I wanted to plant trees this year, and I think that he might have some places in town that I can put some things. So hopefully there's some prospects there.
That is
there.
A beautiful thing to do as a group.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I one day when I was coming into Elizabeth, it's a very beautiful town. And as you come into the town, there's trees going all down both sides of the street. And there was one time not too long ago this spring when they cut down three of those trees because they were not because they wanted to, you know, get rid of them or anything, but because they were posing a danger to the road. And I contacted the mayor and I said, I noticed those trees you cut down. I lead a conservation society. I'd like to replant them somewhere if that's possible. And so we're talking about finding places in Elizabeth for me to put those trees back.
The trees that they cut down, you're putting back? Or you mean new trees?
Yeah, I'm putting new trees in place of them, yeah.
Right. That's awesome. That reminds me of the young boy, I forget his name, that started doing the trees. His goal, I believe, was to plant 100,000 trees, and now his new goal, and he was a young boy when he started, I want to say he was about 7. He's almost up to 1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people complain about the, you know, environmental issues, but they don't do a whole lot about it, and people don't realize what a tremendous impact that average people can have if they go out there and do things on their own. I mean, one person plants one tree. That's not a whole lot in real terms, but imagine if 10 million other people did the same thing every year. Imagine
right.
if there's, what, 7 billion people in the world? So imagine if 5 billion people planted a tree every year. All the world's forests and woodlands would be replenished.
This is true.
Now, I mean, we don't realize through...
Right. You don't realize that, you know, people look at it as, well, it's only me, but if everybody said only me and actually did it, then it becomes everyone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't know if you're aware, like in Chicago, Nature's Little Recyclers, they grow earthworms. And I just love that idea because they have a huge lot, and Chicago is very big with trying to become, I don't know, I'm going to mess this up and not use the proper words, but home harvesting kind of thing, you know what I mean? And I think that's great. Like, all the states should be doing that. And if you just start with a small patch of land, you know, in a neighborhood, and everybody contributes, you could actually feed each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the South side probably needs it more than the North side, but yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I think that if we all helped each other, that you know, we don't realize how much we could do. I mean, imagine if 7 billion people all cared about each other, you know, what could we
right.
do if we cared about everybody else except ourselves and didn't just care about ourselves, you know?
Now, what is this Facebook page called? Your environmental
conservation.
One?
It's pretty long. It's called the Artemis Tree and Animal Conservation Society.
Awesome.
Yeah,
could
hunger's
you,
a big problem
send
in Chicago.
Me that link? I'll get that out there for you also.
Okay, I will. Yeah, hunger's a big
awesome.
hunger's a big problem in Chicago. When I was there this past April, you know, I was on the north side, and I went down to the McDonald's. I'm not sure which one, because there's like probably 10 million in the city. But I went down, and, you know, people were just like begging me for my food.
Wow.
I really wanted to buy them something, but I was kind of a little bit afraid because I didn't know who they were or anything like that. And but I also donated to some charities while I was there. But yeah, hunger is a big problem in Chicago. You don't realize it, but it is. When you got big cities with a lot of people, the more people you have, the more there's going to be crime, the more there's going to be poverty, because you know there's more people there, and so it is becoming a problem.
So I think that that's something also people don't realize about New York. The population, you know, compared to Winston-Salem or High Point or Thomasville or Lexington per se, the population for the towns itself, like in Manhattan or in the boroughs, quadruples in size.
Mm-hmm. I run a food drive every year as well, too.
Oh, okay. What food drive?
Yeah. It's called Demeter's Drive. It's we ran it since 2011, and we just gather canned and boxed foods and give them to food banks.
Awesome.
The year before, we gave 130 packages of food, of various food.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we do the things to help hungry people as well.
Okay. So if anybody in the Illinois area of Elizabeth it is, you need a place to donate, go to the temple page, templeofthegreekgods.org,
mm-hmm.
and get some donations out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't start it until the harvest season every year. So it runs from September 21st to December 21st. That's when we collect our donations. So, yeah, we'll be putting some information out there, you know, when that time comes.
Awesome. So you're getting ready, like, for the holidays, for Yule and whatnot, for the families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Now, with doing this, being pagan, with your shelters and whatnot, because I've experienced that here quite a little bit, I almost feel like the Christian communities don't want our help. Have you experienced that?
Actually, I haven't. When we lived in North Carolina in the Thomasville area, we donated our food drive to the Second Harvest Food Bank. I think they're based in Welcome, I think.
Welcome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, they gladly took our donations. The Stockton Food Pantry up here in Illinois is who we gave our food to the year before and this year. Last year, that is. And 1 year they sent us a thank you card. It said, thank you, Temple of the Greek Gods, for your food donation. So, no, I haven't really experienced that up here or really down in North Carolina, although I'm sure it happens. But most people we've encountered are, you know, more than ready to take our donations because every little bit helps.
Awesome. I think that is fantastic. Okay, anything else that you want to get out there? We're coming to our last 2 minutes.
Well, I just want to say it's been great being on your show. It's been a very constructive conversation.
It's been wonderful. I really enjoy your articles. I did order your book. I should have it here shortly. I didn't do the download. I actually want to have the paperback. I like to have the book in hand.
Me too. You know, I need to be really picky about it.
There's a difference. You know, everybody's like, well, why don't you just put it on your Kindle. You know,
I
think that when you actually have a book in your hand, you feel more connected.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a classic book sniffer, so, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I still use paper and pen and just about everything. And it's like, seriously, you can do that on your tablet. Yes, I know. I can do it on the tablet. I can do it on the phone. I can do it on here. I'm writing it. When it's done, I'll type it.
Yeah, I came across an article that said people who sniff books are actually highly intelligent or something like that, and I was like, oh, thank God, I'm glad that I'm not like.
Oh, so it's not the
glue
messing with our brain, right? I like that. Okay, we need that article. That's a good. good one. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. I will get all your links posted to probably Pagan Radio Network page where the link will be. You can use this link to re-listen to the show at any time.
Okay.
All our shows
blog,
are archived, so it'll be here forever, for as long as
I'll definitely put it on my website.
We have it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being our special guest tonight. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you, everybody in the chat room listening. Thank you for being here with us tonight. And until next time, blessed be.
May the gods keep you.
And now you're here, and now you're strong. It seems so long ago that I offered that song, and my heart was aflame, and I'd known you so long. Through eons and eons and eons and eons, and oh, it was beautiful. And now you're here, and your heart is true, and the blessings I gave are the flowing. Hands are alive with the grace that was gifted to you by the sun and the moon, and you're beautiful, 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 radiate your inner soul. Magic in your eyes. Your inner soul.
here's a song for our wild lady of the forest. Her name is Artemis.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Pagans Tonight Radio Network for the Carillion Family Hour, where Reverend Lori B. just interviewed Chris Aldridge, author. We hope you enjoyed that. That was Wendy Rule singing Radiate Live. And that concludes our programming for tonight. So enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.